sitting here watching the first part of the Eagles-Giants game, and I'm not very happy with the result. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to end, but it's shaping up to be one of those things where Eli will have a chance to come back in the fourth quarter. We'll see. Giants are my favorite NFC team. Of course, you ever see me out in public, you know my man bag is Oakland Raiders. Yeah. A little background story behind that. Why does Rob carry a man bag? And welcome to Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. And this was not even close to what I thought I'd start the podcast with, but might as well. Long story short, 12 years ago, I was playing a softball game in a rec league. And the batter's boxes at the location I was at were just holes. I mean, you sunk like a foot and a half to get into the batter's box to hit the ball, and I tripped coming out on a ground ball. And I fell, very awkwardly, and I fell right on my right shoulder, suffered a third-degree separation. I ended up having to have surgery on it. I have a permanent bump on my right shoulder to this day. It'll never go away. I can only pick up a certain amount of weight with my right shoulder. And I started using, I think at that point, to while I was in a sling for 10 weeks, to make it to work and back, I used an old thermal soft lunchbox to put all my stuff in. And it just got to the point where after I got better and I had both use of both my arms again, I was like, you know what? I hate throwing all my stuff into my two pockets. It drives me nuts. I never put my wallet in my back pocket because I always thought, you know, somebody, but if you put it in the front pocket, then, you know, that makes it a little more difficult. And I was tired of just throwing things in my pockets. So started using a bag of sorts, and then was on vacation in California in 2009 and went to the Oakland Raiders store at Universal City Studios in Los Angeles and found the man bag, and I bought it. And my wife has surgically repaired it a couple of times, including here recently, because they don't make them anymore. We've looked everywhere. In fact, I think my daughter recently called the store in L.A. to see, and the answer was no, we don't do that anymore. So that's the story behind why Rob has a man bag. And it's a Raider bag because I've been a long-suffering Raider fan for a while, but I've been a lifelong Raider fan since age six, when I first saw a guy by the name of Ken Stabler throw the football left-handed on my television in my living room in Beaver Dam, Virginia. And I went, man, he's cool. He throws it with his left hand. And at 6 years old, I became an Oakland Raider fan, and I've been one ever since. So needless to say, I'm really excited about the postseason. Now, I'm a realistic Raider fan, have been for a very long time. I don't expect us to go very far in the postseason. I think we still have some work to do and some learning to do, but this is going to be a great experience for us for seasons down the road. So I'm really excited about the future. I'm not looking to go to the Super Bowl this year, but we'll just see what happens. Anyway, glad you're with us here on the podcast. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. One of the rare times on the calendar where the first night of the celebration of Hanukkah is on Christmas Eve. So Saturday night is going to be a very special night for a lot of people. And I just think that's really cool. We've had a wild week of basketball, beginning with the Times-Dispatch Invitational Tournament, closing up shop with a crazy night over at Glen Allen High School Wednesday night for the championship of the Jaguar Jamboree. We'll talk a little bit about it all. We'll get you set up for next week as our holiday feast of hoops continues here live on the RVA Sports Network, as we'll be live both at the Henrico Holiday Hoops Tournament, broadcasting on First Round Tuesday and Championship Thursday, as well as at the Southerner Classic at Lee Davis High School coming up a week from Friday. But first, we begin with some new news, and we've talked about it a couple of times on Twitter today, on this Thursday as we record this podcast, that we had a new broadcast announcement to make, and we've got it official this afternoon. Very happy to announce that RVA Sports Network will be live at John Marshall High School on Saturday night, February 4th. And right now, it'll be number one LC Bird and number five John Marshall. That's going to be a great one. LC Bird, John Marshall, at Marshall, Saturday night, February 4th, airtime, I believe, and I forgot to look on my website just to double check and make sure before I started hitting record here. I believe we hit the air. It's either 7 or 7:30, and of course, it's available. You know, we'll have it on the broadcast schedule at all of our websites, including RVASportsNetwork.com. But really excited about having the Skyhawks and the Justices live coming up from North Richmond on Saturday night, February 4th. You can add that one to the broadcast schedule. Live and exclusive high school basketball coverage. You can only hear it on the RVA Sports Network. We are the only place in the area, radio, online, anywhere, where you can listen live to the best in high school basketball. And that continues into the spring. We are your exclusive home for high school spring sports. Soon, once the calendar finally turns to 2017, we'll begin to be talking with the athletic directors about baseball, softball, soccer, and lacrosse broadcasts because, yeah, those seasons will be here before you know it. So you can add John Marshall, L.C. Bird, to RVA Sports Network's exclusive live broadcast coverage of high school hoops on February 4th, night before Super Bowl 51. Really looking forward to that. And we are continuing to add more broadcasts to our schedule, and we save some dates so that as we get closer to the postseason and we see there are games with higher playoff implications, because, for example, in Conference 11, only 6 of the 8 teams make the tournament, not all 8. And so if we've got a matchup that may determine whether somebody makes the 6th seed or somebody's out, we may go there and broadcast live, that we try to save the final couple of weeks of the season so we can be flexible. But we knew that Bird Marshall on that Saturday night would be a gimme. And so we look forward to Justices Skyhawks on the 4th of February. Now, if we can just have good weather and no snowstorms throughout the winter and get our regular season done on time and then get our postseason done on schedule, that would just be marvelous. All right, big thank you to, again, Floyd Spencer, tournament director, and to Eric Kalinich, the head of 804 Varsity, the head high school football writer, high school sports writer, I should say, over at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. We began working with them in September, approached them and said, hey, what do you think about RVA Sports Network providing some coverage online of the TDIT? And we talked off and on for quite a while, and it took till the last minute to get all the I's dotted, the T's crossed, and everything done. And I'm sorry about that part from the sense that we weren't able to promote our tournament coverage as long as I'd like to. I'd like to have done it a couple of weeks out, but sometimes you can't help it, and that's okay. It turned out great, and boy, did we have some great games on RVA Sports Network. The Hopewell-Benedictine triple overtime first game Friday night, and then our quadruple header on Monday. Got to give a shout out to the one and only Evan Hughes from Patriot Talk Live, who he asked about it on Twitter on Sunday, you know, and, you know, you're going to be down there, and, oh, I want to go, and he's really enjoying the tournament action. He went to the semis on Saturday. He sent us a video of Jason Wade's game winner for Trinity over Benedictine that sent him into the championship game, And he got there bright and early Monday morning. We were able to get him down courtside with us, and I'm like, you're going to wear a pair of headphones, right? Because I really enjoy working with Evan. I do. Oh, my gosh, he's such a natural. I told my wife when I finally got home late Monday night, I said, now, you know, you and I are going to be sitting in our easy chairs, and I'll turn on ESPN, and Evan will be on whatever show, either doing play-by-play or SportsCenter or whatever's going on in 20 years, and I'll be like, honey, there's the guy. And she's like, oh, yeah, I remember him. You know, we were already mocking ourselves at 70 years old. So Evan has a fantastic future, but he's also very humble at a young age, and I appreciate that the most about him. But thanks to him for joining us, and that helped make the quadruple header a little easier load to bear. And we had some great games. Congratulations to all the teams in the TDIT. You know, even if you came out on the short end of the stick on three occasions, you play three quality opponents in December, which can only help you late January and into February when you get ready for tournament time in your respective conference and in your region. Over on the girls' bracket, Highland Springs, three-time champion now. Congratulations to them. But I have to tell you, I walked away from the Coliseum Monday night thinking more about the performance of Trinity Episcopal than I did Highland Springs. I saw what I expected out of the Springers. And that's not a cut against the Springers at all. They met my expectations. I expected them to win the championship, and they did. but they did it in a way to where it was a 20-point final, but it wasn't a 20-point game. And I know Coach Harris would agree with me on that. Coach Prilliman and the staff at Trinity have done a phenomenal job with their lineup, their players. We saw them last year when they were much younger. Now here nearly a year later, this experience for Trinity Episcopal in the TDIT is going to, it's going to be a bountiful harvest of experience when they get to VISAA playoff time in February. So congratulations to Trinity Episcopal for getting all the way to the girls' championship. And the Springers, you know, they got a big test coming up here. Verina, who we watched twice here this week over at the Hermitage Winter Classic, they fell to J.R. Tucker in a very, very, very physical, athletic game on Wednesday night that we saw live. And Verina and Highland Springs twice here in the regular season in Capital District play as the calendar turns to 2017. It's going to be a lot of fun with Parker and Dickerson. Dickerson versus Gatling down low will be fun. Alexis Harris will contribute down low. But I don't want to get ahead of myself quickly, but I got to remember to bookmark the name Lovie Harden and talk about her here in just a moment. So back to the TDIT. Congratulations to the Trinity boys. They put on the best half of basketball that we have seen so far this season. And I imagine that we will get into March and still look back at Championship Monday night at the Coliseum and go, that first half that Trinity put up on Verina was one of the best, if not the best, halves of basketball that will be played this year. They were simply on point in every phase of the game. They led 40-19 at the half, and it was not because Verina played poorly. It's not because Verina didn't show up. It's not because Verina started slow. It's because Trinity was just on from the get-go. Sometimes you can play well, but the opponent plays so much better and at a higher level for that period of time, in this case 16 minutes, and specifically in the second quarter, that eight-minute stretch where we started the quarter at 18-13 Trinity, and Trinity goes on a 22-6 run, including, I believe, at one point it was either 18-0 or 20-0. I mean, it was just unreal. And Zach Jacobs was the catalyst. He was the motor. I remember watching him at Maggie Walker a couple of years ago before he transferred to Trinity and reclassified, and I thought, okay, you're real tall, got some skills, interesting. And he was okay. He was good. But watching him on Monday night at the Coliseum, I thought I was watching a different person. I mean, he just, his skill level and his ability and how much he has grown into the game over the last 23, 24 months is pretty remarkable. And it's going to be really fun to watch him coming up at the next level, but not worried about that right now. Want to enjoy watching him and the Titans the rest of the way and how they'll translate come VISAA playoff time. Now, obviously, there's always some good powerhouses from out of town, down toward the beach, up in the 703 and the 540 as you get up toward Northern Virginia. So they'll have a lot to work on. And look, they just barely beat Benedictine in the semifinal. Benedictine, do not look at their 2-6 record and write them off. They have a ton of talent. They had a great comeback with the win in the first round over Hopewell. They almost beat who ended up being the TDIT champions in the semis. They struggled a little bit, especially second half, with the size of John Marshall in that third place game on Monday. But if the Cadets can finally find their rhythm, their rotation, their chemistry, and they can stay healthy, you could hear from them come February as well. So they may be out of the top 10 right now due to their record, but they have top 10 caliber quality talent. There is no doubt about that. So a couple of other takeaways from the TDIT. Highland Springs boys, keep an eye on them. Really thought going into the tournament, the Conference 12 was LC Bird, Verina, and the other four. But Highland Springs will give either Verina or LC Bird or both some fits, especially when they are at home. They will be the dark horse, most likely, in Conference 12. Now, I still think Bird and Verina are the two teams to beat to come out of 12 into 5A at this point. But Highland Springs, should they continue to improve and stay on an upward trajectory, could give somebody an issue, especially in a one-game situation in mid-February. Over in Conference 11, of course, prior to the TDIT, the big news was the start of Mills Godwin as they beat Hermitage on our game of the week 9 nights ago, and then a week ago tonight they knocked off Henrico at home to go to 6-0. Now, Tuesday night, they fell for the first time at Western Albemarle, which is a very good team up in the Charlottesville area. So no shame in losing there, but they're no longer undefeated. Now they head to the Glory Days Classic up at Lake Braddock High School in Northern Virginia next week, and there'll be some great tests for them too. And they may not come out of it 9-1. They may not win the tournament. They might, but they may not. And if they don't write them off immediately. They're good. They've got tons of talent and good quality talent too, and they're very disciplined. And so when John Marshall comes to Godwin on January 3rd, that's your first big showdown in the early part of January. It's going to be over in the Colonial District when the Justices go to Pump Road and take on the Eagles the Tuesday night after we get into the new year. So it's just some of the things that were, you know, coming out of what I saw from the TDIT. Now, Jaguar Jamboree and the Hermitage Winter Classic. Kudos to Chris Robinson at Glen Allen. Chris Rollinson over at Hermitage. Great tournament. I spent Tuesday and Wednesday driving up and down Staples Mill Road. Spent part of my time at Glen Allen, part of my time at Herm. And thanks to my daughter being available and able to help me, was able to get in a little more look at girls basketball than I thought I was going to be able to do, as she became available and was able to cover the boys championship over at Jaguar Jamboree between Glen Allen and Hermitage on Wednesday night. And she got not only Thomas Dietrich's three-pointer to send the game into overtime after Herm had led most of the night. Glen Allen comes back late. Dietrich hits the shot, and the Jags force OT on their home floor. And she got that on video for us on Henrico Sports. And then moments later, she calls me while I'm sitting on the gym floor at Hermitage. And she's like, "Dad, it's double overtime. I'm sending you the video now." And it was shot good, Glen Allen. And then Rocky Person did the rest to be able to get through the lane, find a hole in the left side, and put in the beautiful touch shot off the glass, underhanded, if memory serves me correctly, to force the second overtime. And then I'm sitting there on the floor. They're turning out the lights at the Hermitage gym. And finally, she sent me the final score. And congratulations to Hermitage on a hard-fought win in that Jaguar Jamboree Championship. Good week of basketball for them. I think a good week even in defeat in the championship for Glen Allen, a young team that's still kind of learning the ropes and ways. And in Conference 11 this year, with Henrico toward the pack, they're not the clear-cut favorite this year. Godwin's already got a win over them. Godwin's already got a win over Hermitage. Glen Allen's going to be in the mix there. It's going to be a very interesting situation because Deep Run, they still have the two hot hands in Donovan and Cooper. But after that, they, looking for the rotation and struggling a little bit. So, Douglas Freeman, not so sure about right now. Lee Davis got a good win over Atlee before the break. They have their tournament that we'll be at this coming week. They're still kind of growing and learning under second-year head coach Chad Bishop. So this could be a situation to where Glen Allen could come out as that number four option in Conference 11 once we get to postseason tournament time. And if you ended up with a bracket, and I'm just being hypothetical right now, if Mills Godwin, Glen Allen in one semi and Henrico Hermitage in the other, that'd be a heck of a night of boys basketball right there. So congratulations to Herm. On the other side, now I can talk about Lovie Harden. J.R. Tucker girls basketball. They rose this past Sunday in our top 10 from 8 to 6, and they were the highest ranked team other than number one Monacan that was not in the TDIT this year. They advance through the Hermitage Winter Classic. They beat Elise Armantrout and Atlee on Monday in the first round. They win over Glen Allen in the semifinal at a game we were at on Tuesday night. And then they get Verina in the championship game. Verina comes in 9-1, not in our top 10 yet. J.R. Tucker is 8-0 on the season. And Lovie Harden put on a show. Dickerson for Verina got in some foul trouble down low. That hurt the Blue Devils. And Verina had many chances in the second half Wednesday night to duplicate what they did to Hermitage on Tuesday. They were down most of the night through almost the end of three quarters. And then they put on a show in the fourth and ended up pulling away with a 56-40 win over the Panthers. And the final score nowhere near indicative of how close that game was and how hard Verina had to work in the fourth quarter to get that win to go to 9-1. But Lovie Harden, yeah, she scored 22 points. And if there were an MVP award for the tournament, she would have won it. But it was Lovie's work down low defensively that did the job for J.R. Tucker, especially establishing their dominance inside in the paint defensively in the first half. It set the tone for the rest of the game. Now, it didn't stop Verona from going down low, and Verona got some good work down there later on, but their outside shot abandoned them in the second half, which was why they weren't able to make the comeback on Wednesday that they did on Tuesday. But still, Verona, as we tweeted out late Wednesday night on Henrico Sports, Verona will be heard from at 9-2. They get Highland Springs next week. I believe it's on Thursday night. And, of course, they'll play each other twice. So Parker Dickerson, Alexis Harris and company. And I know there were a couple of Verona players who were shaken up during games during the tournament. So hopefully they get everybody back and healthy after the first of the year. Verona's a fun team to watch. And I want to give a shout out to them for the improvement, big improvement that they have made over there at Verona High School. Also, not only shout out to J.R. Tucker for winning and staying undefeated, fantastic accomplishment. Domenica Moore had a great game. Taylor Pawlowski. Tucker may not be very deep, and if they get into foul trouble, that's going to be a problem. But if they can keep their seven-person rotation rocking and rolling and not worry about foul trouble, they can give just about anybody fits. I think the only two public school teams in the area that I feel like are head and shoulders above J.R. Tucker right now would be the big two usuals, Monacan and Highland Springs. I've seen just about everybody else now. I think Hopewell with Deja Jefferson, that would be a fantastic matchup between Jefferson of Hopewell and Lovie Harden down low with some help from Brianna Payne and Domenica Moore. Hopewell, J.R. Tucker would be a fun game if that ever happened, and I don't think their schedule has each other on it, and of course they're in different classifications, but looking ahead, 5A girls over in Conference 11. You've got Tucker right now that is undefeated. Glenn Allen is looking good, and if they can get Michaela Stanley back from injury at some point, then they could become an X factor. They could make a tournament run. Henrico still wants to be a factor there as well. I felt really bad for Hermitage because they played well. Hermitage lacks height. They don't have a lot of size, but man, do they have a lot of heart, and they play very hard. And Saharia Jones had a great night, even in defeat, in the semifinals against Verona. And I'm a Coach Alan Pritchard fan anyway. So congratulations to everybody involved in those two tournaments. A lot of fun watching that action. Four games on Tuesday, four games on Wednesday. Quick note out of that, Elise Armantrout of Atlee is at 993 points. And Atlee plays Verona Tuesday night, January 3rd, coming out of the break. And that'll be a good game. And Atlee, if Elise gets 7 points that night, she will join the 1,000 point club, including that also includes, of course, Ashley Weaver, who got her 1,000th point last year during her senior year with the Raiders. Well, coming up, let's look ahead. Holiday Feast of Hoops rolls on. Tons and tons, and I do mean tons, of basketball tournaments going on, not only here in the area next week, but teams going out of town, down to the coast, up Northern Virginia. Monacan's coming home from South Carolina with a championship. They played a team out of Georgia that had the number one ranked recruit for next year's class, who is the sister of a former player for the University of Richmond. You might remember Alonzo Nelson Adota. His younger sister, Olivia, is ranked number one in the class of 2018 by ESPN. She and her team took on number one 2017 Megan Walker in Monacan, and Monacan struggled at times, and the other team had the lead briefly in the second half, but they were able to pull away late and survive a cold shooting afternoon. Monacan gets the win and the championship down in Myrtle Beach. They'll come home, rest up the rest of the period, and get ready for January action. So congratulations to Monacan on that championship win. Longest flight, longest trip, the Hanover Hawks girls basketball team. They're in San Diego. I believe they go Monday, and their first game is Tuesday in the Surf and Slam tournament in San Diego, California. Coach Roars promised me he's going to keep me posted on how they do out there. They won the Caroline tournament on Wednesday night with a one-point win, and for a young, growing program that's finally turning the corner over there at Hanover, that was a very good win. Anytime you can win an invitational tournament over the holidays, that's a good boost. That's good positivity for your team, no matter where you are, what situation you're in. So hats off to Coach Rohr and company on that, and safe travels to them and to all the teams in the area that are traveling. The Mills Godwin boys and girls are up towards Charlottesville LC Bird is in a classic a week from Friday night. They'll be at the Hampton Coliseum in action. If you want to know about all the different tournaments, John Marshall's heading down to Marietta, Georgia. We've got it all for you at Holiday Tournament Central at RVASportsNetwork.com. It's at the top of the page, and we're going to keep it at the top of the page as long as we can through the holiday break. And, of course, if you go right now and bookmark it on your browser or on your phone, even if we are posting things after that, if you go to RVASportsNetwork.com on your phone, it's very simple. It comes up on your browser. You just take your thumb and scroll down a little bit, and you'll see it in bold lettering, Holiday Tournament Central. Click on that, and you see all the tournaments. You see all the brackets in the area, and then teams going out of town. We keep you posted on how they do there. And we got to update that Monacan final from today in the championship, put that up on there as well. And then we can rest it aside for a few days, and then we get back going on Monday. LC Bird's Holiday Classic is Monday and Tuesday. And then Tuesday, huge day, Benedictine Capital City Classic gets underway. Of course, we'll be live at Henrico Holiday Hoops. First round, quadruple header action, live on the RVA Sports Network's YouTube channel at 2:30. We'll have James River Metoica in Game 1. The host Warriors take on J.R. Tucker in Game 2. It'll be a VISAA West End battle as Stewart takes on Collegiate in Game 3. And then number 3 and TDIT champions Trinity Episcopal take on South Lakes in the Knights nightcap at 7:15-ish. And all four of those games will be live on the RVA Sports Network. And then we'll be back at Holiday Hoops at Henrico on Thursday. We'll have the third place game at 5:30 and the championship game at 7:15. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So is the Benedictine Tournament, the Tri-City Holiday Classic at Petersburg High School this year. That starts Wednesday, continues through Friday. The Douglas Freeman Winter Tournament, both boys and girls, is Wednesday and Thursday. Our buddy Evan Hughes is going to be over there with Patriot Talk Live because Patrick Henry is involved in that tournament, as is Manchester, Louisa, and Douglas Freeman. And we may step out there for a bit on Wednesday to check things out. And then, of course, Thursday, as we mentioned, we're back at Henrico. And then on Friday, we're at the championships of the Southerner Classic at Lee Davis High School. That tournament is Thursday and Friday. And we'll have the championship of the girls and the boys live on RVA Sports Network's YouTube channel Friday, the 30th of December, beginning at 5:30 p.m. Those will be our final broadcast of the calendar year of 2016. Clover Hills Classic, not a tournament format like LC Bird. That takes place Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And again, all of the brackets are available right now at RVASportsNetwork.com at Holiday Tournament Central. So make sure you bookmark that and keep in touch with everything that is going on during the holiday. All right, football. State teams out. The 4A team came out on Wednesday. Congratulations to the six Dinwiddie Generals who made the VHSL's Group 4A All-State football team, including two, Kavon Pope and Ty Freeland, who were named first team both offensively and defensively. That is a humongous accomplishment. And to the junior Pope and to the senior Freeland, a heartiest and most heartfelt congratulations from all of us here at the RVA Sports Network on a phenomenal season. We saw you in week two with the big win on Hanover. We were there in Zabel Stadium when you fell just short to a worthy Salem team in the championship, and their quarterback Noah Beckley was named 4A player of the year. But congratulations to them, to Sire Flood of Monacan, second team All-State quarterback, and to Clayton Cheatham, second team All-State offensive all-purpose from Hanover, even though his year was cut short due to injury. Flood will be back next year with Monacan. Cheatham moves on to James Madison after graduating in June from the Hawks. So congratulations to the football teams. When we get back to the first of the year, we've got swimming. Boy, had fun at the Hawk Invitational last Saturday night. That was a lot of fun, and watch out for the Lee Davis girls. They are going to be reckoned with this year. They don't have just Molly Sheffield. Lacey Kramer has really come into her own as a swimmer. Really great work last Saturday night, helping Lee Davis come just 6 points away from the team championship. And congratulations to Western Albemarle for winning both the boys and the girls titles by 20 over Hanover in the boys and only by 6 over Lee Davis and the girls. Quality work by Atlee, both boys and girls. You combine their scores, the team score, they finished, I think, 4th overall. Atlee strong as always. So a lot of fun coming up in swimming. We haven't gotten to wrestling yet, and we're going to get to a wrestling tournament very, 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 very soon. Congratulations to all the teams that performed at the Lee Davis Holiday Classic this past week. Go back to swimming for a moment. Henrico County, you continue your first season of VHSL action. And, of course, over in Chesterfield, second season of club swimming, and we're certainly hoping to get to see one of your meets before the season is done. Gymnastics will get back going. There have already been a few meets for most teams in December. They'll have a few more, and then early February, it's conference tournament time. And indoor track underway as well. So there'll be tons and tons of sports to cover here on the RVA Sports Network as we start 2017. Now, in 2017, you're going to see some different things from the RVA Sports Network as we continue to grow and evolve into what we hope will become even a more effective network, a better network, one that serves you better. But we have specific purposes, and we have some things that we can talk about publicly as to things that we'll be doing in 2017, and we have some things in the background that we are working on constantly as the new year unfolds. As those things begin to progress, we will keep you posted on them. Coming very, very soon, thanks to also our work with the Hanover Herald Progress, early in 2017, we are going to have a series of articles that we believe are going to be the most important series of articles we've ever produced in our work in high school athletics. And I'm very, very, very serious about this. It is a subject that needs to be addressed desperately. And we look forward to raising awareness on that subject and beginning to do some work with some quality people and a great organization in the Richmond area. We can't go any further than this right now. But we'll tell you more about it in the weeks to come. We're hoping within the next 30 days, we'll have all the information publicly to you as we are looking at all aspects of life as a student athlete. We also have something else in the works that we will announce publicly on the first podcast of 2017. We have a very special emphasis from the RVA Sports Network that we will have in our 2017 coverage. Something that we have really adhered to for about as long as we've been in existence, but we're going to place a special public emphasis on it in the calendar year of 2017 because we feel like it deserves it, it needs it, and there needs to be better awareness of it. And so we're going to hope to take the lead, and we're going to hope that what we do, quite frankly, we hope that other media organizations in the Metro Richmond area will join us in the effort. We've got a hashtag ready for it and everything. It's not that we want to get credited for it. We would just like to be the engine that starts something that would create more opportunity, more exposure, and more deserved credit to a group of student athletes in this area. And the situation is also across the country as well. And when we talk about it on the next podcast, you'll better understand it. But it's going to be a special year on the RVA Sports Network in 2017. And we'll talk about that emphasis on our next podcast as the new year begins in 2017. And also in that next podcast, we are hoping to have for you just a little bit of fun, a year in review, an opportunity to take a few minutes and sit back and listen back to some of the biggest highlights that we had live on the RVA Sports Network in 2016. From Cosby's three-peat in girls basketball to Charles Faldon's incredible comeback performance, almost leading L.C. Byrd to a state basketball championship, to Atlee softball going state back-to-back live here on RVASN. Obviously, our football game of the week coverage. We had some great basketball, other sports as well, and we're going to take and kind of cobble some of the best highlights together and bring them to you in a special year-end in review next week on our podcast. A couple of quick housekeeping notes because Christmas is Sunday. At first, we were going to not do a top 10 poll in boys and girls basketball this week, but we decided because of all the action going on during winter break, we really couldn't take a week off. So our new top 10 boys and basketball, boys and girls basketball polls will come out Saturday, Christmas Eve. We'll have them for you on Twitter and at RVASportsNetwork.com. Then our next poll will get back on regular schedule, which is on Sundays. And, of course, Sunday is January 1st, 2017. And you go right back to school on the 2nd, and boom, there's action that Monday night. So we just keep on rocking and rolling right into the new year. So top 10 basketball polls coming up Saturday, Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day, and then we get back on Sundays the following week for the rest of the season, and the final top 10 polls will be in mid-February on the eve of the conference tournaments in the middle part of the month of February, which will be here before you know it. Our podcast with the year in review and our announcements for 2017 also scheduled to come out on Sunday, January 1st, New Year's Day as well. And our next live broadcasts after our holiday Feast of Hoops, Henrico Holiday Hoops, Tuesday the 27th, four games, two games on the 29th, and then two games from the Southerner Classic at Lee Davis on December 30th. We get back into regular season action on Friday night, January 6th. We'll be live for a Hanover County showdown, doubleheader action, Hanover and Atlee, live here on RVA Sports Network on our YouTube channel on Friday, January the 6th, and that is a 6 p.m. airtime. As we close the podcast, one quick reminder. We put up our vote for the team of the year survey, our poll, at RVASportsNetwork.com on Tuesday. It will stay open until Saturday night at 11:59 p.m. There are 14 teams nominated for Team of the Year at the high school level. All 14 won a state championship. You had to win a state title to be nominated for Team of the Year. As we record this podcast, Deep Run Girls Tennis has a significant lead in the voting. You may vote early, and you may vote often at RVASportsNetwork.com. So go look at the 14 teams that are nominated. Three of them are from Monacan because they had three championships this year, boys and girls basketball and boys volleyball. In Hanover County, you've got Atlee softball, Hanover baseball, Patrick Henry boys volleyball. They are all in. Two football teams, Highland Springs, and don't forget about Collegiate winning the BISAA championship. In baseball, we have Hanover and we have Maggie Walker. Deep Run Girls Tennis, Midlothian Girls Tennis, Mills Godwin Girls Soccer is in the mix. Cosby Girls Basketball is there. 14 nominees. Vote for your favorite now. Team of the Year, voting in Saturday night, Christmas Eve at 11:59 p.m. We'll announce the winner on Twitter and at RVASportsNetwork.com on Christmas Day. That'll be the one thing we do on Christmas Day, and that is announce the winner of our poll for the high school team of the year. All right, fans, again, Holiday Tournament Central at RVASportsNetwork.com is your place to be all this coming week for all the holiday tournament action. We'll keep you posted on scores, schedules, brackets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we hope you'll join us live on our YouTube channel Tuesday, quadruple header coverage from the Henrico Holiday Hoops Tournament. Again, a big thanks to everyone at the Times-Dispatch and 804 Varsity for partnering with us so that we could bring you coverage of the TDIT this season. And a big shout-out to 804 Varsity on Twitter. You need to follow them. They're like, well, they're your competitor, Rob. Yeah, I understand that, but we're not here to win anything. We're here to showcase student-athletes. So we invite you to follow them as well as us on Twitter. That's 804 Varsity, all the people over at the Times-Dispatch who take care of high school coverage for them, and they do a fantastic job, again, at 804 Varsity. Tonight's podcast, of course, an exclusive presentation of RVASN, solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any other use without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC, strictly prohibited. Rob Witham saying thank you so much for being with us. The merriest of Christmases, and we'll talk to you Tuesday from Henrico High School.